Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Well, we at least make promises that we can keep. Chad Thomas spends his life looking for people who make promises that they don't keep. Is that right? Would that be an accurate assessment of your daily life, Chad?
I suppose so, Howard. It's
yeah, you've
it's
never thought of it one. That way, have you? But it's true.
I haven't.
You are in the business of broken promises.
I think you're 100% right, because that's what fraud breaks down to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because we live in a social contract, and we live in an environment, whether it's within our own marriage, relationships, family, business, no matter what we do, we live in a world of contracts. Some of them social, some of them are written, and they, unfortunately, and fortunately, whatever that would be, is your life, is looking at broken promises.
Before COVID, we relied somewhat on a handshake, but it's always been somebody's word that is what is so critical in any transaction that takes place. A word is a bond, and that is something that should never be broken. Yet we're seeing it more and more, and it's become not just a national sport that we can comment on when it comes to what we're seeing from a state capture perspective, but it trickles down to us. It seems like everybody's trying to get in on the action, and you have to be so risk averse these days.
And that's the problem. You know, we see this. I think there are many problems, and I would love to have that conversation with you separately. Because when I look at somebody like this Tinder swindler, where he's an appalling man, probably a sociopath, and yet all of a sudden, because of his Netflix expose, he can charge $20,000 to make an appearance at a club. They're flying him all over the world. He's got an agent. He's become famous for his appalling sociopathic behavior, and that I would imagine is going to make our lives a lot more difficult, because it becomes aspirational.
So it's a double-edged sword. If you watched Tinder Swindle, if you watched Inventing Anna, you see that there's a lot of similarities, and they have become very famous because we live in this digital age, and they used this digital age through social media, through online dating, to further their crimes. And conversely, social media is now pushing their brand into the stratosphere. But the double-edged sword is the fact that from a positive perspective, a lot more people have become aware, and a lot more people are now willing to talk about their experiences, because romance-type scams are not new. We were chatting the other day. We saw a program on television where a chap met a lady via a pen pal club, and he didn't know that he was communicating with a lady who had been incarcerated, and she actually turned out to be a serial murderer. And Glenda and I turned to each other. We laughed. We said, there we go, the first romance dating scam out there. So it dates back to the pen pals. It dates back so far, but it's just so much more prolific now, because we all have access to social media, and we become so accustomed to communicating with one another via this tool, that this tool has become an extension of our trust, and that becomes a problem.
Let's just talk about South Africa's holiday swindler. And that's a case that I know News 24, a couple of places, have been reporting about clients who have lost thousands of rands that they've paid for these five-star getaways. Tell us the story.
So it's a fascinating one. This particular case has got all the elements, because you've got a individual who's taken a lot of money, but because of the name she coined, she called her company Hello Darlings. It just makes it so much more interesting to talk about. But surprisingly, from her particular community, her name is Tazneem Musa. She's taken a lot of money, some estimate as much as 100 million for five-star accommodation once the COVID restrictions were going to be lifted. And she took a lot of money from a lot of people, but primarily from her community. Now, what makes this so bizarre is that this isn't the first time this has happened. In fact, just 2 years ago, we were all glued to our laptop screens, because one of the very first virtually presented court cases was out of the Lanesia Magistrates Court. It was a lady called Fazila Malik, and she had taken dozens, if not hundreds of people within the Muslim community in the travel agency scam, where she was taking money for Hajj. And what made this case so fascinating for us as investigators is that the bail applications were broadcast virtually, because we had just gone into COVID. It was in April 2020 that the trial started and the bail app started, and we were all literally glued to our screens to see how different this would be in this new tech world of us now presenting evidence virtually. And it took it got a lot of traction within the Muslim community. Salaam Media and other Muslim media houses were allowed permission to put cameras in the courts. They were able to film this and stream it. And the community spoke about it extensively. This is 2 years ago. And now somebody within the very same community has taken money. The only difference being Tasnim took money for luxury holidays, whereas Malik, and this is disgusting, was taking money for people that were going to make Hajj.
It's just absolutely incredible. So what is the current status of this case?
Current status is MIA. Mm-hmm. People are talking about sightings in Dubai. I got a whole lot of messages that she was in Mauritius. I was recently in Mauritius on investigation. People said, "Don't you want to go back?" I said, "Not right now. Thank you very much." The bureaucracy and the red tape. You know, people go to Mauritius to relax. Chad's the one that goes to Mauritius to open cases with the Mauritius police, the Mauritius Financial Services Commissioner, and wait for it. Their unit that investigates, and this would be great for a lot of South Africans that get up to nonsense. The unit in Mauritius that investigates money laundering and proceeds of crime is called ICAC.
No, it is not.
It's spelled ICAC, and it stands for the Independent Commission Against Corruption. And I just wish it was a South Africanism, because we would literally say, "Yay, Khan, you know the rest."
Well, it's funny because you're allowed to say it like that. You can talk about ICAC in Mauritius, but I'm not sure you can talk about it locally. Wow. So is there any chance of people getting their money back, finding her, this getting to some form, reaching some form of closure?
So they'll find her. Whether they find the money is another story altogether. Has she spent that amount of money? I've seen the lists that have been generated from different investors, different purchases of holiday deals. You've got very affluent families that really wanted to break this two-year hiatus and booked these really expensive holidays where they spent upwards of hundreds of thousands of rands. I even saw somebody who had spent R1 million to take their entire family overseas just to break this horrific hiatus we've all been through. So it's opportunity that presents itself to fraudsters. Fraudsters are opportunists. I don't know if you remember that at the advent of COVID, I stood on my soapbox and I shouted out that PPE was going to be one of the biggest frauds because it had opened an opportunity. And here again, we're seeing another opportunity. People look, they see, okay, so COVID's coming to an end. What are people going to want to do? And they create a scenario where they can monetize it for themselves. Whether it started with good intentions and then just escalated, we don't know at the present moment. But in answer to your question, I think we'll find her. Will we find all the money? No. Will we find some of the money? I'm sure. We haven't been instructed in this matter as IRS, but I have been asked to look into it by certain members of that particular community, which brings me to a point I'd like to raise, and I know we're running out of time. The point I want to raise is affinity frauds. Everybody talks about Ponzi's, they talk about scams, what they don't talk about are affinity frauds. And those are frauds that are committed within communities by people who are trusted. And the reason we call it affinity is because people have a greater trust for somebody who they know, who perhaps shares the same religion, the same school, or something that's familiar to the potential victim.
And that's very, very important, Chad, because and I've heard you banging on about this because it's that important. I don't mean that in a negative, I mean that in a positive. It's like Chad is screaming at us in terms of the Jewish community to say, buyer beware. Beware of affinity fraud. Affinity fraud, as Chad said, is when somebody you think you know and somebody you think you trust and you think you can trust just because you shared a plate of kichel and herring with them once doesn't mean you could trust them and doesn't mean you should trust them. And sometimes that is the way that we fall for it the most. Is that right, Chad?
You articulated it exactly the way I would have wanted to. That is why you are good at what you do, because you are able to take it, summarize it, and hit the nail on the head.
Chad, thank you as always.